Take your Bibles and turn to Zechariah chapter 4. We touched on this after a pretty marvelous service three weeks ago now. When you hear and you're reading in the Old Testament and you read that the word of the Lord came to somebody, it means that they had a revelation from God. It means God showed them a revelation. Now, as you would go back and do some history on these verses, you'd realize the temple had been destroyed and Zerubbabel was going to rebuild it along with help from other prophets and leaders. And they were having all kinds of difficulties. Some of them had to build the temple with a sword in their hand because the enemy wanted to attack. And so, you ever need encouragement? Have you ever breathed? Okay. So God sends an angel to Zechariah, and the word Zechariah is very interesting. It means the Lord remembers. The name Zechariah means the Lord remembers. Not only does the Lord remember what he told to Zechariah, but he also remembers what he told to you. And so as you have received promises from God, as you have received revelation from God, and if you have not seen the answer yet, hold on to it. Don't start throwing out. Don't start giving up. Don't start throwing in the towel. Don't start complaining. Don't start condemning God. Just hold on to the promise. And so here's what God says to Zerubbabel through Zechariah. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace, or God bless it, God bless it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. I want you to look at me, and I want you to get this, and then you can turn your hearing aids off, or you can do whatever, I'll still be preaching. Supernatural ways are for supernatural purposes. Natural ways deal with natural purposes. There's a thing that we do in the natural, but the spiritual, everything that is from God is supernatural. And we struggle with that. Because how many of us have tried to earn the spiritual through natural ways? How many have ever had a problem? And as you've had that problem, how many of you think, well, if I go to church a little bit more, if I read my Bible a little bit more, if I do this a little bit more, if I give a little more in the offering, then maybe God will just give me favor. That's not God's way. God has already granted you favor. And so we get sick and we pray like we never prayed before. Something happens and we start doing things to compensate, thinking that what we're doing is going to earn something special from God, and you can't use natural things to get spiritual results. You're looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. I can read your mind. Somebody's thinking, well, then I don't have to go to church at all because I get it all. And if that's the way you want to live, go ahead. But we try to earn something that's already been given. Look at me again. Anything that deals with the atonement, that means the crucifixion, the death of Christ, the burial, the resurrection, can never be earned. You can't earn it. It's a gift. And so we at times walk around thinking, if I can do something a little better for someone, if I can help someone, if I can do something for someone, maybe God will grant me favor and look upon me and heal me. It doesn't work that way. Remember this if you don't remember anything else. God's grace is not for sale. Say that with me. God's grace is not for sale. You either earn God's grace, then it's not grace, or you freely receive God's grace, which is His grace. You already have been given favor with God. You've already given, God has promised salvation to you as you receive that. And the same thing with healing. Receive it. Don't look at yourself as something, well, I just got to earn this. I got to do something to merit it. I got to do something to make it work. Here's God speaking before the grace came. He's speaking to Zerubbabel saying, it's not by your efforts. It's not by your strength. It's by my Spirit. Now listen. A lot of people don't walk with God because they don't think they're good enough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm not good enough. Whoever told you that? You did. Whoever said you had to be good enough? What's the measuring line for goodness or not goodness? How do you know when you reach a place where you're good enough? Come on, somebody give me the answer. I want to know too. But it's the same thing with reincarnation. They keep coming back as something until they reach a certain point. What's the point? If you believe in reincarnation, when do you reach enough so that you don't come back as a mouse or a rat or a eel or... If there's some walleyes that have been reincarnated, I'll catch them. But you see, we have all these ideas about our relationship with God that doesn't add up to who God is and what He said. I want us to understand that God is saying, it's not by might, it's not by your effort, it's by my Spirit. Your spiritual growth depends on you allowing God to grow you. This action of rebuilding the temple came to a place where Zerubbabel and Zechariah had to come to a place of saying, we can't do this. It's not our efforts. And so God says, I know that. I'll do it. It's going to be done. That's why when you're hearing a word from God, or the Bible speaks to your heart, take hold of it. Take hold of it. And come to a place where you understand that God is a God that desires more than almost anything else to save and to bless and to heal and to touch and to free. So what do I do? Have you got the first part? You don't earn salvation. You don't earn your healing. You don't earn from God. He will reward us. I'm not talking about that. But right now, it's all paid for. So what do I do when I face a mountain? What do I do when I face a mountain in my life? I believe there's three things. I'm going to give them to you quickly. Well, I don't want to lie. I'll give them to you in order. The first thing you need to do is identify your mountain. What's the source of the mountain that's been hindering you, trying to destroy you, coming at you? Who did it come from? There are times that God does things that maybe may seem uncomfortable, but he's doing it to grow us. Whenever the devil does something to you, he's doing it to destroy you. Can you understand that? God brings us through trials and tribulations, he says, for the growing of our faith. And it produces character. It produces things in our life that God wants to see. And it's found in Romans chapter 5. You can read about that. But most of the mountains we face are not coming from God. They're coming from the enemy with the thing to stymie your spiritual growth, to take your focus and put it on something else, to destroy you, to come to a place where you just kind of throw up your hands and say, why should I serve God? It was a mess before I came to him, and now it's a mess after. And that's what Satan wants to do. But identify it. Identify what's going on and where it's coming from and the source of it, and then deal with it. Number two, speak to your mountain. God says to Zerubbabel, before you, that mountain's going to become a plain. It's going to be leveled off. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, if you believe, you will say to the mountain, go and be cast into the sea, and if you don't doubt in your heart, that mountain will be picked up and cast into the sea. There are times in your walk with God that you have to speak to the things that are adversarial. You got to deal with them. I'm not talking now about getting in someone's faith. I'm talking about the fact that you deal with the enemy who's causing things to happen that aren't helping your spiritual walk, and if it continues on, will rob some of the things that you're going through in Christ because we lose our focus. You speak to the mountain. Because in that situation, we have authority. Say authority.
Authority.
Say, I have authority. In the name of Jesus Christ. And because of the relationship, keep talking, he's called me into. I have authority. You see, we think too often that the only authority out there is God and Satan. The authority is God. Satan has usurped authority that he stole when Adam and Eve gave him something, and now that dominion is back in the hands of God, and he wants us to deal with situations that are adversarial to our personal lives. I believe with all my heart it's time to quit tolerating the junk that Satan's doing. We put up with it. And God is saying, as long as you put up with it, it's going to be there. As long as you allow the enemy to keep that mountain in the forefront of your life, it'll be there. So we come to a place where we begin to look at it. We take a look at it. The Bible says this, Revelation chapter 12, and they overcame him, who's the him? The devil. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they didn't panic when they thought they might die. That's basically what they said. Love not their lives unto the death. When you stand and you speak to that mountain, you speak to that mountain in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you make a confession that Jesus is Lord over my life and over that mountain, and that mountain must go. In Jesus' name. It's time for this body and every single believer to take a stand. For some reason on Facebook, I was writing about standing this week. It's time to stand. It's time not to back down. It's time not to shut up. It's time to stand in Jesus' name, knowing that He's empowered you to stand and you're not a weakling. You are more powerful than any demon or any devil or any force that comes against you in the name of Jesus Christ, and do it. Stand strong in Jesus. Speak to the mountain. Tell the mountain to get out of your way. Tell the devil to go back to hell. Don't tolerate what he's doing. We put up with so much. And you've heard it. Just in your own mind, you think, well, I'm not worthy. Of course you're not. But in Christ you are. I didn't deserve Jesus dying for me any more than some soldier in Afghanistan deserves somebody taking a bullet for them. People don't deserve that. And I don't deserve what Jesus did for me. But I'm thankful he did. Praise God he did. Praise God he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Praise God that every weapon of Satan is torn down. And you have the authority to stand in the name of Jesus and not allow the devil to hinder your praise, hinder the ministry, hinder your witnessing, hinder your health, hinder whatever else there is. You have the power to stand and say, thank God, I'm going through. I'm not looking back, and I'm not going to spend the rest of my life focusing on the devil. Give the Lord a hand. It's true. And we walk this out. How many have ever been told that God doesn't hear your prayers? I've had people say, well, my prayers bounce off the ceiling. I said, really? You have a pretty thick ceiling. No thing in the Bible that says our prayers don't get to God. If you're living for Jesus and praying the Father in the name of Jesus, man, they're right there. You may feel that they're not doing anything, but since when do you live by feeling? Oh, that's right, we do, don't we? Sorry. I've done it. In a big moment of your life, you pray and you don't feel anything happen, but what does that mean? Nothing. The devil comes and says, God didn't even have time to hear you. Where'd that come from? Speak to the mountain. Get it out of there. If you have a relationship problem, oh, now I know I'm meddling. Why take the devil's side? Speak to the mountain. Tell the devil to get out of that relationship. If it's the other person's problem, if they're doing things that aren't right, Rebuke that, not them. Rebuke that in Jesus' name. Stand against it. I know of people going through a relation. I'm not speaking to them because we've talked about that. But understand something. You don't have to tolerate what Satan's doing in people's life. You can speak the word of God into their lives without even talking to them and praying over it and saying in Jesus' name, this is enough. Because unfortunately, there are people that don't like me and they have bad taste. I understand that. And if they didn't like Jesus, they might not like you. But that doesn't mean that because I'm a Christian, well, I just got to let them abuse me and say all these things about me. No, I can talk to them and say, that's not Jesus. Can we do that? It's not Jesus. If they get upset, they're upset already. Speak to the mountain. Parents? Yeah, right here. If that little guy talks back to you tomorrow, you tell him he can't do that. Yes, little Jim, you just don't talk back to Daddy. Look at how peaceful he is. There's a mountain in American homes, and that's kids are in charge. I know you love the way I'm preaching. You need to talk to your children and say, this is the way it is in Jesus' name. Because I want you to live a long time. Honor thy father and thy mother is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? The promise is everlasting, a long life. Excuse me. The promise is long life. And we as grandparents, I love the way you're shouting. We as grandparents can hinder what's happening in the home by not dealing with attitudes in our grandchildren. I'm sure glad I took the offering first because now I got everybody looking at me. I'm tearing down that mountain. Serious. We come to a place of honoring our children by loving, but yet not tolerating some of the stuff that our grandchildren do. I've learned that. I had a grandson with me for 3 or 4 months. The mountain, speak to it. Speak to it in the name of Jesus. And you know what God says? God says, Zerubbabel, that mountain that you face, that mountain of opposition, is going to become a plain. It's going to become a plain. It's going to level off. It's not going to be a mountain anymore. And you can walk over it. And then he looks at Zerubbabel and says, you're going to lay the capstone. You're going to finish the project. The project will be finished. I want you to understand that. There's a great meaning here. He says, you're going to finish it. I'm going to empower you to finish it. God says this in Philippians 1:6. He says, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. It's going to be completed. How many have wondered in the last few weeks, am I ever going to get to heaven? Am I ever going to get there? Am I ever going to make it? Can I make it? No, you can't. But God can through you. That's grace. We struggle with such weird stuff because we either don't know the scripture or we think it applies to somebody else. God's grace will get you to where God's taking you. The mountain will be a plain, and you'll lay the capstone. You'll be the one that lays the final block in the building. One more thing. He said you're going to lay that capstone with shouts of grace, grace in the New King James. In the NIV it says, God bless it, God bless it. Rejoice in the Lord, and what? Again I say, rejoice. How many of you, if you knew that your mountain was a plain, would rejoice this morning? Anybody? So now you know that your mountain's a plain. It's time to rejoice. I want to tell you something, and I've struggled with some things. But if you know that God's in control, if you understand that now, if you know that God has you in His grace, if you know that no weapon formed against you can prosper, if you know that whatever the devil throws at you, you have authority to deal with it, not with panic or not with fear or not with frustration or not with anger and not running around saying, God, help me, help me. Then we can rejoice. We can rejoice. We can praise God. We can come to a place of glorifying Him. We can come to a place of saying, it's not in my hands anymore, God. You've empowered me to deal with it, and through you, there's nothing formed against me that can prosper. And I like that. Because you know what we've done for years? We've looked at the mountain instead of the one who can level the mountain. We focused on the mountain. We focused on the situation. We focused on the problem. Amen?
Yes.
How many believe that? Yes. How many are willing to give the Lord a hand clap of praise and a shout? You got to stand up and do it because you got to jump a little bit. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a thanks. Glorify His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Mountain, you're a plain. Mountain, you're a plain. If you start recognizing that the mountain is a plain through Christ. It's just level. I don't mean one that flies now. Please understand me. I'm not talking about a B-12 bomber. It's level. And there's nothing that can hinder what God wants to do in your life unless you start looking at all the problems and all the issues. And God says, I'll take care of the issues you look to me. I'll take care of the issues you stand. I'll take care of the issues you focus on what I'm doing. I'll take care of the issues you praise me.